Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be on until 2 o'clock here this afternoon right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation here this afternoon. I'm joined in the studio with a special guest, missionary Nader Bharati, going to Ethiopia here in just about 2 weeks. And so we're going to get into the program here in just a moment, but let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We thank you for opportunity to talk about the work that you're doing in various parts of the world. We just pray that you'd use us to encourage believers and point people to Christ and lift up and glorify our Savior through our program today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And just a reminder, the telephone numbers, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and you can always find out more about our program at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can even link to our Facebook page there at livewithpastoral.com. Well, joined in the studio today, missionary Nader Bharati, and welcome to the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And you're going to Ethiopia in just a couple of weeks, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when are you heading off?
I'll be leaving on the 28th of this month. Yes, sir.
And now, is this going to be your first time there?
This will be my second time. Mm-hmm. I went on a survey trip back in December of 2013.
Right, and we had you on the program once, I believe last year, and we were talking about a number of things about Ethiopia and also your background, and I just wanted to cover a little bit of that real quick, too, because obviously your name, Nader Bharati, is not quite like, you know, Sam Smith or something like that. Get a little bit of your background, some of the unique background that you have that God has given to you to use you in his service.
Amen. Yes, well, as you referred to it, my name is not a typical name. It's actually a Persian name from the country of Iran. My father, of course, as I shared in my testimony, came over to this country, and I was brought into this world with being raised with the Islamic culture and so forth, mm-hmm. with my father. And so the Lord prepared the mission field, of course, while I was still young, preparing me as an unbeliever, showing me and allowing me to live in Iran different times of my life, and picking up the Farsi language and practicing that with my family. And so the Lord prepared that all before, you know, I got saved. And then when I got saved, he said, I'm going to use you because, you know, he says that, you know, I prepared this before you even knew it. And he said, I'm going to send you back into a mission field that, you know, has a lot of Muslims and has a lot of people who do not know the Lord as their Savior. And just a little comparison, if we can talk of just geographically the size of Ethiopia, it's about two Texases put in together, but there's 92 million people that make up that population.
And that's kind of interesting when we think about that, because Ethiopia is mentioned in the Bible, but as large as it is, you know, twice the size of Texas, basically, you know, it's a lot smaller, isn't it, than the biblical Ethiopia?
Absolutely.
And the biblical Ethiopia, of course, extended from, it was south of Egypt, there on the continent of Africa. It would have been south of Egypt, I guess about where the Aswan Dam is today on the Nile River, in that general region. In fact, I think that, well, that backs up into the area that lake does. Lake Nasser backs up into, it's not Ethiopia today. I'm trying to get my map straight in my mind. That would be, let's see, Somalia there, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's on the east.
Yeah, so the Ethiopia of the Bible would be composed of Somalia, Ethiopia, the present-day Ethiopia, Chad, let's see, where else?
Sudan.
Sudan, mm-hmm. Eritrea on the coast there, and Djibouti. Mm-hmm. So there are several countries there today that make up the biblical Ethiopia, mm-hmm. And you're going to a part of that. And in relation, because people, you know, a lot of times tend to think, well, it's all over there in the Middle East. And the Middle East is a large area, and
absolutely.
Especially when you're talking about Ethiopia being twice the size of Texas, that mm-hmm. covers a large area.
Yeah.
And it's down, if you could kind of describe its location, maybe mm-hmm. a lot of our listeners are familiar with where Israel is. Maybe that would be a good starting point in relation to Israel.
When you think about Ethiopia, we're on the far, you'd consider the east part of the continent of Africa, on the Horn of mm-hmm. Africa, they call it.
Right.
Some of the other countries that were in the vicinity, if you think about Kenya, that's south of our border. And then mm-hmm. we have Somalia on the east and Sudan on the north. And then above Sudan, we have Egypt. And
right.
so we can have a little bit of a comparison there. And then you have Uganda on the west there. So.
And then, of course, across the water, you've got the Arabian Peninsula
yes.
with Yemen and Saudi Arabia. And so that puts you to the south of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what is that? That's the, I'm trying to think of you've got the Sinai Peninsula coming down, but it's a little below that where the Red Sea forks up into mm-hmm. the two sides flanking the Sinai Peninsula. So it's an interesting area. And what kind of climate do you have there?
It's interesting. Where I'm going to be living, it's about 8,000 feet above sea level. And so
the high elevation.
High elevation, yes.
Now, think about that. A lot of people think, well, Africa, you think either the deserts of the northern part or the jungles of the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And what kind of situation are you going to have there?
It's a mountainous area where we're going to be, the terrain-wise, where I'm going to be in Addis Ababa, the capital city there.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it's just like a big city. You know, but they're the mountainside around us. That's why we're so high above
mm-hmm.
The sea level there.
Right. Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting when we think about it. We were talking before the program in Acts chapter, Acts chapter 8, I believe it is, where you had probably the first missionary to Ethiopia, don't you?
Yes.
And a lot of times people say, well, that's Philip, isn't it? No, Philip was an evangelist, and he evangelized an Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
Who went back to Ethiopia, and you can read that story there in Acts chapter 8. And let's see, it starts down about verse number 26, I believe it is, where Philip is directed to a man who is a, well, here it is in verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And of course, he didn't understand, and God used Philip to explain the prophecy in Isaiah, where it would be in our Bible, Isaiah 53,
mm-hmm.
and talking about the lamb before the slaughter and all. And he explained to him that that was the Messiah, that was Jesus, and the Ethiopian came to trust Christ as his Savior, and Philip baptizes him. And I want to drop down to the end of the story there. It says that in verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand. Let's go to verse 37. In verse 37, Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This was in his request for baptism. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So this man made a profession of faith here.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip said, and he commanded the chariot, verse 38, to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. Now, Philip mm-hmm. doesn't go down to Ethiopia, does he?
Mm-mm.
This guy does.
Yep.
And this man, as we saw, was a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
So Ethiopia right here in our Bible has a tremendous history in the past of having the gospel brought to Ethiopia. And how does this bear with what you're doing today? I mean, what kind of reception is this going to give you?
Ethiopia claims to have the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, that's another story, too.
Yes.
And let's come back to that one in just a minute there. Now, Christianity spread into Ethiopia in the first century right here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have Islam come in.
Yes.
And that would have probably been about, what, the 7th or 8th century.
Mm-hmm.
So, several, you know, 700-800 years later, Islam spreads in. And so today, what would be the percentage? I guess maybe we could look at this two ways. People who claim to be Christian, which as we all know, doesn't always mean that they are just because they claim they are. They're not Jewish, they're not Muslim,
yeah.
They're not Hindu or something, so they must be Christian. What kind of percentage there versus truly born-again people would you kind of guesstimate in Ethiopia?
I would answer your second part of that question and say about 4% of them claim to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves up to 96% of 92 million people who've never been given a clear presentation of the gospel.
Right. Now, would the majority of that 96% be Muslim or?
That breaks up into two categories. We have the Ethiopian Orthodox.
Right.
And then we have Islam as the second main.
Okay, so the Ethiopian Orthodox would be the largest?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you do have a history of Christianity, and you chances are you will be speaking to people, at least a 50-50 chance, I would imagine, that they are familiar somewhat with the Bible and the Bible stories, perhaps even the story of the Ethiopian eunuch here.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that will give you an inroad right there. However, we understand, too, that sometimes that can be almost a hindrance because, well, we're Christian. What do we need anything else for?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure you'll encounter some of that, won't you?
Absolutely.
Now, in terms of the Orthodox, they've been there for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned earlier about the persistent rumors that the Ark of the Covenant mm-hmm. might have been located in Ethiopia at some time. And I've also heard that it was there and that it was sent back when there was an airlift of Ethiopian Jews back, when was that? I think that was back in the 80s or something. But you had mentioned that earlier, so what do you think about that?
Oh, that's interesting. Just to give you more clarity on what you just said, the Orthodox religion in Ethiopia has been the religion for over 1,500 years
mm-hmm.
in Ethiopia, and that went from about 1274 to 1970, between that time span. And that's when we, then of course in 1991, that opened up a freedom of religion in their country.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're allowed going into the country, sharing the gospel, having street evangelism,
mm-hmm.
and it allows us the opportunity to get the word of God out. But the Ethiopians believe that they have built, there's this temple in the northern parts of Ethiopia and up by the Blue Nile,
mm-hmm.
and they built a replica of the new Jerusalem temple in Ethiopia where they say that this Ark of the Covenant is housed. And I've heard rumors as well, as probably you have heard, but I've heard that the Jews have came back and taken it back and put it back in their original temple in Jerusalem. And so it's kind of speculation, but I believe that the Bible says it's up in heaven, and that's where I believe it is.
Well, and that's a possibility, too. I've seen several things. One program that I saw where a guy went into one of these kind of unique temples that are kind of carved into the ground. It's mm-hmm. kind of interesting. And they were excited because they were going to see the Ark of the Covenant. And when they got there, it really wasn't the Ark of the Covenant. It was something else, but they had appended that title to it. And then also there's some stories that suggested that more than one ark was made as like a copy
mm-hmm.
that they could use in case of invasion or something. And of course, Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians during the time of Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And that they switched out the original ark with a copy, in case that the original would be, so the original wouldn't be stolen. And then, of course, as you said, the rumors are that the Jews have taken it back to Jerusalem, where they're holding it, getting ready to build a new temple and to install it in there. And then there's other stories that it's actually under the Temple Mount in a secret chamber. It's anybody's guess. It could be in heaven. We really don't know, do we? Mm-hmm. And until the temple is rebuilt, which the Bible says that it will be, it'll be there. I personally believe the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9, when the Antichrist, he causes the sacrifices and the oblations to cease, and this will be yet future. This happens during the tribulation period. I believe that what he's going to do, the Antichrist, is going to enter into the rebuilt temple, and he's going to go where the Ark of the Covenant is. And you remember, the mercy seat is at the top of the Ark, mm-hmm. and that's where God met with the high priest every year in the Day of Atonement. And he's going to, I think, kind of put himself right there at the mercy seat and to claim that he is God, mm-hmm. and to demand that people worship him as God. And but, you know, I don't plan on being here at that time, do you?
Nope.
No, we're looking forward to the Lord catching us up, and we see things happening in the world around us, and it looks more and more every day mm-hmm. like that's going to be sooner than later. But in the meantime, we've got a job to do, and that's to reach people with the gospel mm-hmm. so that they don't have to go through that time frame either. And so when you get to Ethiopia, you know, just you know, people listening think, well, okay, you're gonna hop on an airplane, and you're going to get off the airplane in Ethiopia. What do you do when you get off the airplane? Do you just like start in the airport evangelizing? Or, you know, some people don't have a concept. What do you do as a missionary mm-hmm. when you first get there? So what are you going to do?
It's very complex. If I can just make it simplified as the stay in this, my first term will be studying the culture and studying mm-hmm. the language. And I start language in August, so it's the sixth hardest language in the world to learn, with 256 letters in their alphabet, and we have 26 in ours.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, as far as starting a church and everything, the Lord's already brought in the infrastructure for this mm-hmm. With East African Baptist Mission, which I'll be working with. There's already an infrastructure in the country, and the Lord is just allowing me to be a part of that. And yes, we can start in the airports, and ultimately we know that the Lord will bring the increase. Amen.
Right. So you have some people that already lined up mm-hmm. that you can network with when you get there, learn the language, and then, of course, the advantage of understanding Islam. Mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned before, half the population identifies itself as Christian in one source or another. And so that leaves another portion of nearly half the population to identify itself as Islamic. So you're prepared to reach both sides, aren't you?
I am, and I will be working with a national pastor, mm-hmm. and that's the Lord has allowed us to grow in a relationship, and it's very interesting to have the opportunity to follow after the Lord when He's called me to a country that. As I stated before, I got saved in college. You tell me I was going to be going to Africa to share the gospel, I would have just laughed and said, you know, that's not possible. And I'd show you everything that I'd worked for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just very thankful that the Lord, you know, has allowed me the opportunity to answer this call on my life. And I want to thank all my supporting churches that support me in prayer and in finances. I want to thank my home pastor, Pastor Strachan, for just believing in what God can do.
And you're out of the, Ashland?
Calvary Baptist.
Calvary Baptist in mm-hmm. Ashland, Ohio. Yeah. And, you know, you think about that, and you're talking about this being something you never expected, you know, God to do with your life. I think sometimes, I know God has a sense of humor. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, if you ever, you know, God created the possum, you know, I mean, you can't look at a possum and believe that God doesn't have a sense of humor. I just, mm-hmm. You know, what type of an animal would you create that after the fall, of course, would say, oh, a predator is going to eat me. Let me play dead, make it easy for him. Mm-hmm. But that's... armadillo, I guess, would be a close second, you know. I digress there a little bit. I was going to say, I think sometimes, because God with his sense of humor. I can remember one time somebody asking me, you know, what are you going to do with your life? Do you think you'd ever be a pastor or a preacher or something like that? And I can remember saying, well, that's the one thing God's never going to have me do. Mm-hmm. Never. Yes. And I sometimes remember that time, and I was in college at Colorado State University at the time, and I remember thinking at the time, looking back to that time, thinking, right there's where God said, all right, that's the I'm gonna call him. Never say never. But the amazing thing is, though, when you do surrender to the Lord's will, mm-hmm. and you have confidence that you're doing what God wants you to do, there's a peace. And there's an acceptance, and not just a peace and an acceptance, but an excitement mm-hmm. about doing that. And I would imagine you're getting a little excited, since you're not counting down the days yet, are you?
Oh, no. Only got 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, so I just want to remind our listeners, we're talking with Nader Barati, missionary to Ethiopia, and he's going to be leaving. If you'll pray for him, what day are you heading out?
It's a Tuesday, July 28th.
The 28th, mm-hmm. and certainly be in prayer. A lot of travel to get to Ethiopia. You don't just hop on an airplane up at Cleveland and fly straight there, do you?
No, it's actually a 13.5-hour flight from Canada to Ethiopia directly. So
you're flying from here to Canada, and Canada to Ethiopia, and then, of course, you got to get over the jet lag and to get your feet on the ground, connect up with the people there in Ethiopia, and then time to get acclimated, mm-hmm. and you're going to start learning the language. And then from there, as God leads, assist with the church that's already there, mm-hmm. and then branch out into other things. What do you expect to be doing a year or two from now?
Well, in a year and two from now, I will have graduated out of language school, and then we'll be able to work with the 14 men that are in the Bible Institute that I'll have the mm-hmm. opportunity to disciple and train once I get there this summer. And then we'll launch out into plant churches in these remote villages where they've never even seen the Word of God or have had a copy of the Bible. And we'll launch out and plant the churches where the Holy Spirit allows us to be.
All right. And you said there's pretty much freedom to do this in Ethiopia today.
Let me just kind of give you a comparison. There are 77 tribes in Ethiopia, and over 69 of them have never been reached.
Mm. And, you've got the opportunity, and you've got the means, and I would encourage people to pray for Nader Barati as he's going. Do you have a website or anything by chance?
I do.
If somebody wants to follow you and keep up tabs of what you're doing?
Yes, it's www.outreacheastafrica.com.
All right, that's Outreach
East Africa.
OutreachEastAfrica.com.
Yes.
And if we can remember that, I'll link that to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com as well. And that way, if our listeners want to keep tabs and know how to pray for you, and that's an important thing. Having been a missionary in the South Pacific in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I, we still maintain that the number one thing a missionary needs is people praying for him.
Absolutely.
And the money's good. Mm-hmm. If somebody's got $1 million that they want to send you, I'm sure you wouldn't pass that up. But I've said somebody has $1 million they want to send to us, but we haven't got it yet either. So,
yes.
But we know we have people praying for us, and that's mm-hmm. worth more than $1 million.
Absolutely.
And Nader Barati, I want to thank you for being on the program with us today. Give us your website one more time there.
Okay. It's www.outreacheastafrica.com.
All right. And if people remember that, and we'll put it on our website as well. And we got about a minute left in the program. And we're glad that we can have a small part in your ministry there as well with our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And glad that you could be on the program with us. It was nice to take a break from some of the stuff with the Supreme Court and all the things that are happening in the world. We can get bogged down in those things and lose sight of the fact that the fields are white unto harvest. And Jesus said, what? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will call people into the labor fields, like Brother Barati here and other people, whether it's Ethiopia, whether it's France, whether it's the Samoan Islands, whether it's right here in our own Jerusalem, in our own backyard. We need to be busy preaching the Word of God and pointing people to Christ. We probably have less time than what we realize, and we're losing the freedoms in this country fast. We're out of time, though, now. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us again next week. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.